Intervju Radija Študent.
Commit suicide, dial 1-800-SINUDLINE. Fawn's right, yo, it ain't worth it. Put a rope around your neck and jerk it. The trick didn't work. Your life was fucked up from the first day of birth. After watching Jackie Gleason walk into a precinct, gun down a captain for no fucking reason, and get some LSD or a drink from the bar. Get behind your wheel and crash the car. Like Desert Storm, got bombs for the war. Confront an alligator, let it eat you raw. Back to the function, riding the caboose to hell. Gizzard touch the third rail. You fucked up, chicken. Now you just got fried, 'cause it's a suicide.
Suicide, it's a suicide.
Pretty fast. You don't stop and look around every once in a while. You'll miss it.
Six fucking devils stuffed up playing brave guard. Had the fucking nerve to try to enter my graveyard. I'm the resurrector. Be my sacrifice. Commit suicide and I bring you back to life. The first was convinced. Stuck a water hose in his mouth. Fat full blast so his head can explode. Second one said, that's good but I could top it. Put an axe up to his head and then he chopped it. Bloodshot out in every direction. The rats didn't know what to do. I made suggestions. Put a slug in your mug. Overdose on a drug. Wet your hands. Stick a knife in the plug. Or play like Richard Pryor. Set your balls on fire. Better yet, go hang yourself with a barbed wire. Three and four fell deep into the spell and ran to the zoo. Locked themselves in the lion's den. Number five said it ain't worth being alive. Smoked a dust swing. Mixed it with cyanide. The only one six. He went home, sat in the tub and slit his wrist. Yeah, more graves a day. Goodbye.
Okay, we're not attempting suicide here. Although we are staring at the photo of a new kids on the block on the monitor of our computer. But we're still alive. So I would like to welcome in this studio two, can I call it gentlemen? No.
Gentlemen
that will perform tonight at Gala Hala. It's Freddy Fox.
Peace.
And it's Prince Paul.
Peace.
Or it's DJ Prince Paul.
I just follow whatever Freddy Fox is. Yes, DJ Prince Paul. I was a DJ before I was anything else, producer.
Like, you were DJ from when you were 10 years old?
Yes, I started spinning right at in sixth grade. Well, I had some friends who lived next door to me, and they said, yo, we're going to MC. And it's like, you should DJ. I'm like, yeah? And that's how it started, you know.
Freddie, were you ever spinning?
Yeah, I was a DJ before I was an MC. I learned how to...
It was at the beginning, everybody wants to be a DJ.
Well, it wasn't that I wanted to, it was just that was the first thing I saw. And then, mm-hmm. you know, then you know, I wouldn't say a DJ. I would say I was a pause man. I used to make pause tapes, like, you know, because I didn't have two turntables. But then, you know, when I started putting together music on turntables, and then I was just like, you know what, I want to say a rhyme. And then everybody was like, yo, you're kind of nice, you know. So.
And but in the last few years, you're putting out some mixtapes also now. You're back to this mixing skills, or?
Nah, you know what happens? I do a show on the internet, and people tape it, and they put it out. So they're kind of bootlegging my radio show out here. So.
Yo, let me put it like this. I come off, Fox is nice, man. He'll claim there's no DJ thing, but you know what I'm saying? I support it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm sitting next to him, but really, you know, he's nice, man.
Yeah, you know what it is?
Maybe you can change tonight, like, for,
yeah,
for
I mean,
a piece of dude.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to DJ for the people in Slovenia. I would love to do that, you know. Maybe I might do it, you know what I mean? But I know that I don't really get mad when people put this stuff. I mean, you know how the internet is. You put stuff on the internet, people push record in their computers.
It's
and then,
everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, what are you going to do? Chase, run around going, yo, who's selling my shit? You know, like, I don't care. At least they love you enough to do it. You know what I mean?
Internet. Does it still make sense to deal with the A&R guys at the record labels and everything?
Nah.
So,
what record labels?
What labels?
They don't, yeah, don't really exist anymore.
Yeah. So actually, it's just like you're on your own.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I remember having this conversation in 2000 with The World on an album called Industry Shakedown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And everything that I said then is still how I feel now. You know, you get people who, you know, years ago they took away artist development and they stopped developing artists and trying to figure out a way to make the project work. It was like, you know, whatever you gotta give, you give it to us, we're gonna give you money for it, and then we're gonna put our ideas in it. And it's like, imagine that. You cook a meal and serve it to people who re-season it, and you know what I mean? It just doesn't seem the same. So now it's like, whatever.
But it was like 10 years ago when we were interviewing Paul in the offices of Tommy Boy Records.
Tommy Boy.
Wow.
It was like Tommy Boy. It was like institution. It was like nothing can bring this down, or Loud was really strong. And all this stuff is now like buried.
Yep.
Yeah, man. You know, time reveals everything. You know, that's what my mom always say, but in a more prolific way. You know, everything's real and supposed to go according to plan, you'll stand the test of time. Hence me and Freddie Fox are here today in Slovenia, here at the radio station. You know?
First time here too, man. It's my first time. It's great. So far, it's incredible. You know, so, you know, thank you.
And the best part is still yet to come.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, we're going to come back and open up a hamburger chain.
competition.
Bump Donald's.
Bump Donald's. We're going against McDonald's.
Ugly Duckling tried a few years ago with her milkshake stuff. So how come that you're like performing together? Is it like a series of gigs or...
Well, first, people don't understand it, and I see why they don't understand, but me and Fox kind of go back in a different way. We're both from Long Island. We both had, before, you know, Wax was even thought of, you know, crews and groups and, you know, things that we were part of, and, you know, bumped into each other a few times. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was from North Babylon. I was from Amityville. You know, in the middle he had Wine Dance, which was Rakim. Then he had Central Islip, which was in Brentwood, which was EPMD. And then you go out west and Roosevelt and Freeport.
Public Enemy.
He had Public Enemy. De La Soul's from Amityville.
Original Concept.
JBC Force from Brentwood. So, you know, we're
it's
all
like sort of reunion.
Yeah. So, you know, we're connected in a different way, like, and it's I'm almost slapping myself because it's dumb to take all this time to finally for us to connect. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've known each other forever, but for us to connect to even do anything in any capacity. So the beauty of this run and the beauty of us being in Slovenia, and especially for y'all seeing something that is like for the first time. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't, you know, we haven't worked in this capacity before. Mm-hmm. So this is totally new.
Okay.
You're seeing history.
Yeah, pretty much.
Limited edition.
Yeah, man. You know,
pretty much.
But if it runs out okay, you're going anywhere else with this project or?
I'm speaking for myself. I'm sure Paul may or may not agree, but I think the planning of stuff like that makes it fake. Like, mm-hmm. we kind of just like, hey man, what are you doing today? I don't know. Want to make a record? Yeah, let's make a record. Yeah. You know, like that was the fun part mm-hmm. of what we did. It's like some people put too much effort in trying to plan collaborations or situations like that, where he and I really, and a few of our other friends, kind of just have music conversations as like people talk about football. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yo man, what are you working on? Oh, I got this project, and then you send it over to, yo Paul, listen to this. He goes, you know what? Can I add something to it? And it's like, it just turns out to be a project. You know what I mean? Where it's not so set up. So it's just like touring. It's like, hey yo, you feel like going on the road, doing some hosting gigs? I was like, yeah, that'd be cool. Like, where you want to go? Where you going? He's like, I'm gonna be in these places. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And then we just do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so some more organic. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like you said, then it's pre-planned. And you know, first starts out with, you gotta be cool. You know what I'm saying? We're cool with each other. Yeah. We get along. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We, you know, from the same area. Mm-hmm. And it's we're just out to have fun. And I think that's when the best music and the best, I guess, situations come about, when you both, and you know, sit down like, like out and have fun and do your thing. And it's
fun, man.
Then something comes out of it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think stress. That the news that you're coming really makes some old people happy here.
Oh man! Like, oh, wow. Thanks.
I mean, like,
what does that say about me?
I mean, like, old people.
I was hoping the young ladies would come out, but really, the old people would come out.
Yeah, old people and young ladies, of course. Like,
shit, well, that's how it works.
I always say on my show,
it's guys, like, it doesn't matter if they're young or old.
I'll take an over 40 with a nice can.
Yeah.
That's okay, cool. Like, I'm glad everybody comes out, you know?
Yeah. Why do I think old people? Because when we said, like, send some questions in for Freddie and Paul, so here are the questions from our listeners.
All right.
That's a good segue.
Okay, Freddie.
Yes, sir.
That's AV in the background.
Why did you change your names with the Bumpy Knuckles and Freddie Fox stuff?
You know why? Because at the time I was doing Freddie Fox, Foxy Brown came out, and there's a reggae artist named Red Fox that came out, and then it was like all these foxes.
Firefox.
Yeah, browser. all these,
yeah,
all these
Fox.
Nah, that was way after. That was way after. But you know, it was like all these foxes started popping up, and I was like, you know, I gotta do something different. So what happened is there was this kid that I had a physical fight with him, and then, you know, this girl kind of says to me, she goes, yo, look at your hand, you got like your hand got a lot of lumps on your hand, like my hand was swollen because I punched him. And I said, well, the lumps are on his head, the bumps are on my fist. And she goes, oh, so you got Bumpy Knuckles? And I was like, yeah. And then I kept it like that.
Okay. Okay.
And he had said this joke about Firefox, something like that. So I hit it, and I was like, but that's why. That's why.
Okay. You were mentioning Rakim, and there's a guy who's certain that he wants to know, is it true that Eric B and Rakim was supposed to be Eric B and Freddie Fox?
Well, there's some truth to that. The truth is not that it wasn't supposed to be Eric B and Freddie Fox, because we never titled it, but mm-hmm. Eric came to the town where I lived at, and he was asking around he was asking people, like, who's the best rapper in this area. So my brother was popular in the area where he was at, and they kept saying his brother, the guy right there, his brother, which was me. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that he was talking to was a friend of mine, and he stopped me, and Eric asked me, would I come with him to record this record? And I thought he was just like everybody else, but I was in a group at the time, and he didn't want the group, he just wanted me, so I didn't want to leave the group. Mm-hmm. So I passed it up, and I was like, you know, then the next person they went to was Rakim, you know. Which is what the story is.
Yeah, but now you got Prince Paul here, so it's okay.
Hey, man. I'm no Eric B, but, you know, I try to rough the president.
Okay, someone has mentioned the situation with Ray Benzino on the tour.
Right.
What actually happened? Is it true, the rumors about Benzino talking gangster stuff and then blah, blah?
What's blah blah? I don't know what blah blah is. I don't know what that is. You got to be specific with me.
Yeah, it's the guy says, like, you were together, Freddie, you were together with Benzino on tour, and that Benzino was talking how much gangster he is, and then, like, Freddie told him how the real gangster behave and do the real stuff.
with involving Woo, some mouth and guns and everything.
Yeah, there was an incident. There was an incident. It was on a Flavor Unit tour. We were kind of doing a van run, and you know how guys are. We're a bunch of frustrated artists at the time, and I'm still a frustrated artist, but we're still a bunch of frustrated artists at the time. But I'm just frustrated about different stuff. So conversation ping pong, and you know, he just happened to be, you know, just talking about some stupid stuff, and I flashed off on him and said some things, you know what I mean? And he said some things, but I'm going to leave it right there. I just don't want nobody to get it twisted. Like I was by myself. You know, He had like 8 guys with him. But
you're a big guy.
Size has nothing to do with it. I know a bunch of big, soft dudes, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's really about how you handle yourself and how you carry yourself. You know, me and Benzino since then, you know, have actually worked, you know, together on a few things. He's a good guy. He's not a bad guy. So I don't want to kick no dirt on him. It depends on how you tell the story, whether it's true or not. Some guys try to put a little extra ketchup on it, but
yeah, it gets, you know, with every repetition, it gets something new juice. Okay, let's focus now on the future. People are asking what's happening with the American Black Man.
You know, this actual trip has inspired me to go back and finally finish it. Like, I needed to fall back for a second because, you know, you see all these rappers popping up and it's like, oh my God, it's like at one point in hip hop, I kind of seen hip hop as like this big field of opportunity. And then as we're moving along in that field, I realized it became a mirage, and I kept seeing all these dandelions popping up in front of me. Like, damn, it's more and more stuff for me to dig to. So I kind of fell back, so that I didn't want to be in the middle of trying to make everything. Hey, look, I'm still here, Freddie Fox, I'm still here. So I went to the studio and focused on my catalog, and I started just recording records. So when the time came for me to take American Black Man and put it out, I would be able to do that by just picking songs and filling in the blanks. So I called Premier. He sent me records. I called Alchemist, Pete Rock. They sent me records. Kev Brown, you know, Odyssey, DJ Scratch, Clark Kent. They sent me records. And I just started recording. I was producing stuff. And it's like all these great producers that I was working with, I just built these catalogs of songs with them. So now I can just kind of say, okay, I want to use this, I want to use that, I want to use this. And this trip actually, you know, I had to come out here to make sure I still had love out here, because I was like, let me go on the road and see if people still checking for the OG, you know what I mean? And then now that I got the confirmation, now I can go back and do what I got to do. Like, I really needed to make this trip, you know, so I was kind of glad to be able to come out. So I'm going to actually finish it and get it out by the top of 2010.
Okay, but you cannot talk about any names and everything, what will you pick? So.
Nah, I don't know yet. I mean, there's so many songs. I'm going to actually do a new song from American Black Man in the club tonight with maybe a verse. I may do a verse of it and let people hear something that Premier did for me, but I don't want to say what it is because I'm not sure myself. But I will definitely put it out in 2010.
Okay.
On my own, and I will show people how to own your record. Like, I want to show, because I know once it goes out there, there's going to be downloading and all that. And I got to say that to the fans, too. A lot of the fans got to stop doing that, man. Like, they're like, it's cool to download, but come on, man. Like, you can't expect for people to give you the best work that they work so hard to do and you won't pay for it. Like, at least buy the record, you know what I mean? Even if you download it after you buy it, then just at least buy the record, at least to support the project. You know, like, I seen everybody throw Jay-Z under the bus. You know, Jay-Z been a legend for so long, and one album he makes and somebody don't like it, they throw him under the bus. So fans have to have some accountability themselves. You know, it's always the artist didn't do a good job or this or that, you know what I mean? But if you're gonna be a true fan, don't be a fair weather fan, you know what I mean? All of a sudden there's people who love Raekwon who probably never liked Raekwon, you know what I mean, because he has a good album. So, you know, don't be so quick to judge when people could see you on the internet downloading these albums for free. You know, I can see if it's old classic stuff that, you know, people don't really buy much anymore. But new records, man, kind of support the artist, because that's what independence is about. And independence, you know, if you were an artist, people will tell you, yo, man, they got guys that stand on the corner in New York, say, here's my CD. And then once it's in your hand, they go, oh, yo, by the way, that's $5. You know what I mean? But, you know, you got to support the artist as well. You can't go around just downloading everybody's stuff for free. You know what I mean? makes people not
so
want to make
records. Record companies. It's more about artists.
Yeah, it's more about everybody works hand in hand. I mean, look at it like this. You don't just have record companies. You got radio stations who tie into record companies, which kind of pushed out what we call authentic hip hop. You know what I mean? Because they said, well, this, you know, they picking records that we normally wouldn't pick. Oh, that's the single, you know? And they give the artist a budget. And he's off shopping somewhere. Meanwhile, they're picking his future for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you got magazines which tie to that as well, because that's the marketing and promotion situation, but they never develop the actual artist. Then you got the fans who have to absorb all of this. So they've been brainwashed to believe in that something is good and credible when it may not be actually whack, but it just not... It's just like they skipped the whole process that brought it to the point that it is now. So we have to think about the artist as well. It's the fans' responsibility to uphold the artist as an artist. I mean, who are you going to perform in front of if nobody comes? You know, who are you going to make records for if nobody buys? So what's the purpose of making records if people stop buying and just download? What if all the rappers say, well, look, nobody's buying records anymore, so why should I make records? I'm not doing it no more.
Maybe we should go on strike, like the screenwriters.
Yeah, that's cool if you're working for Mr. Charlie at the mill, yeah. But you know, but that's not cool if you're being artistic and as an artist, you know, like, you know, you feel that
you have to express yourself.
Yeah, you have to express yourself, and then at the expense of you expressing yourself, you got people who take advantage of your passion. You know, it's depressing, and it almost makes you say, you know what? I'd rather just collect my own records and then maybe I'll play them myself on my own radio show or my own show and put drops over them so people can't copy them. But you know, that people are gonna find out a way to steal your passion anyway. So. Mm. You know, that's the part that's a little bit disappointing as far as the fans are concerned.
Okay. Well, you didn't have any situation with Ray Benzino, or...
Oh, nah. I don't even think I know him, to be honest. You know, I don't think I've met him.
Okay, but
I felt like I met him through the conversation. Mm.
People are asking, any chances for
nope.
Some new stuff with Ultimator,
I
some new
stuff
with De La Soul, some new stuff with Gravediggers.
I'll answer one by one. No.
Okay.
Nine. No.
So nunca. That's the past.
Nada. Now, with the Ultimator, it was cool, you know, while it lasted. We just had a few differences in the ideas of managing money. So that you know, kind of, you know, helped us part. We had a little few creative differences, you know. And it was kind of better because I was turning from a handsome boy to an ugly man. So I was transforming to something different. The mustache had to come off, the suits. As far as De La, you know, I kind of like where my legacy kind of ends with them, you know, with the three records. And it was fun. And, you know, I like to leave it like that. It was good. I don't want to. It's like Jordan when he came back to the Wizards, you know. Yeah. You kind of wish he just stopped with the Bulls in his last, you know, his last attempt. You know, though I am curious, like Jordan was, I'm good.
How would it be like?
Yeah. I don't want to miss my slam dunk at the last All-Star game. And as far as, like, the Gravediggers, RZA had approached me with it about a year or so ago, and we had talked about it, but, you know, my feelings are, without Poetic, it's not the Gravediggers. You know what I'm saying? So I'd rather not do it. You know, it's all of it looks appealing when you sit back and you look back at it, but once you start getting around it and you start thinking about it, it's kind of better left where it was before. It's like old girlfriends, like that. You think about, like, wow, she was nice. And then you sit down and you talk to her after a couple of years, and you see her and you have lunch, and then you realize why you broke up. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's why. All you remember is the sex and the holding hands. But when you start to have a conversation and she starts popping that same junk, you go, that's why we broke up. And then you leave it alone. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay, so what's going on with the Digitronics or Digisonics? What was it with the RZA?
Digitronics.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's
what's up with that joint album you and RZA are doing called Digitronics or Digisonic or something to that effect? That's
wow.
The question I received.
That's new to me.
Okay. But does it sound good?
Yeah. That's new. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know, that's my answer. Like, I've never heard that before. But
Souls of Mischief, you heard about that?
Oh, Souls of Mischief. Yeah, that's coming out. It should have been out like a year ago. It's way overdue. It should be out this fall. And I'll be traveling with those guys. Only for a couple dates back out here in Europe. And yeah, it's a throwback record.
But you were doing like some really interesting stuff in the last years. Not so strong, not so edgy hip hop, like the Dino 5 project for the kids.
Oh, okay.
This Dix project.
Ah, the Dix, yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those, with the exception of Dino 5, when I think of projects like the Dix, I think projects like Instrumental and, you know, things of that nature. Those are like, for fun records. Like, it's an artistic thing. Like, you know, there's records I sit down and I focus on. I go, okay, I'm seriously thinking about how I'm gonna put this together. How I'm gonna market it. How I'm gonna do this. And those records would be like A Prince Among Thieves. Those records would be like a Gravedigger record. You know, Politics of the Business, somewhat. But those other records is like, you know, me and Bumpy Knuckles are sitting around. I'm like, yo. See that rhyme you just did? And that, you know, impression of, I don't know, Mr. T? Yo, I got an idea for that. And we laid down, we go, ah, gah, gah, we laugh when you make a song. And I was like, yo.
Into your bones.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden, I record and I put it out. You know, so it was for fun. And then if you like it, fine. If you don't, then it's not for you. You know, those are to me for fun records. And it's funny because a lot of those records that come out, people take seriously and they go, I see him. I see him in forums and in blogs. What is he doing? Paul's falling off. His beats are this and is this. Because it's not a competitive record. It's a record that's just for fun and just for art's sake. So, you know, and I'm not going to change that because people's opinions. I'm going to do what I want to do.
That's how I feel too when I'm in the studio. I'm like, you know, when you're painting a picture, you're not painting a picture saying, wow, I wonder if people are going to like this color. You know, I wonder if people are going to like this brush stroke right here. It's like you're kind of just saying, you know, as an artist, you're exuding your ability to design something for future review. And people are going to judge it. I know that. But I still have to do, you know, express myself. You know what I mean? It's like I hate when people pick your records apart and say, I like the second verse more than the third verse. And I'm not really feeling the drums, but I like the sample. Like, you know, I can't remember myself as a kid listening to Teddy Pendergrass or James Brown or the Stylistics or anyone ever remember saying things like that. You know what I mean? I just absorbed it from top to bottom and I took it as a whole. You know, you can't take half of an aspirin and think you're gonna kill a whole headache. It's not necessarily so, you know what I mean?
Unless you had a half a brain.
We could have half a brain.
then you right. might be more.
Right.
More than enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, are you how's it now with the upcoming artists? Are they like hanging for themselves, or it means like you're mostly working with the guys from your generation?
Is it asking me?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm doing
like
a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you know. It's not that much younger.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny you asked that. I'm supposed to insert laugh there. It's funny you asked that. I'm actually working on this album. I guess you'd call it CD or digital download nowadays in 2009 with my son. And we put together this project, and it's called Negroes on Ice.
How old is he?
He's 17, okay. And he'll be 18 in December. And he conceptually, more or less, put together. I just watched some of the stuff that he was doing on his own, and I scratched my head and was like, "Yo, that's pretty interesting," you know. And not as a dad, but as a serious music lover and critic, I was like, "Yo, I kind of like that," you know. And we sat together and we started putting this project together, and hopefully, it'll be out next year. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, Negroes on Ice. We don't have a name. I think the name of the album is called As Seen on TV. So it should be interesting.
Okay, so what do we expect tonight? How will it look like or sound like?
Well, first of all, what we decided, we want to do something a little different. We're gonna do like a live set with drums and guitars. And we got like some smoke machines and some pyrotechnics.
Auto-tune. We got the auto-tune. We got the auto-tuners.
Yeah, we got auto-tune, and we got these girls. We got some girls that we hired from out here. Thanks, Slovenia, for the Slovenia dancers that'll come out and they're gonna do a little.
Yo, did you get the sequin suits from the hotel? We forgot the.
Yeah, we got the sequin suits. You know, a la Puffy 99.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Bad Boys.
Yeah, yeah.
That this was all jokes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's joking. I'm serious. Bumpy Knuckles ain't coming out like that. Yeah. Prince Paul, you're gonna see me.
You want to see the ticket sales go diminish? Like,
you gonna see me rock the axe? Like, nah. You know, hip hop, man. That's what we do. You know, it's gonna be some nice music, some throwbacks, some new stuff. I can say that from my part. You know, Bumpy Knuckles. You never know what you're gonna get from him.
I'm gonna do what I do, man.
All you know is you're gonna get. All you know from Bumpy Knuckles, you're gonna get quality, and you will leave satisfied.
Yeah. Okay. Quality. So thanks for dropping by.
Thanks for having us.
Much love.
Tonight.
Respect.
Ob 11. V Gala Hali začnejo naši fantje, nadaljujeta pa Bumpy Knuckles in Prince Paul. Yeah. Isto zdaj z nami tukaj.
What he Yo. Said. What he said.
Yeah. Change this new kids on the block.
Yeah, it's like change. It's haunting.
Mm. It's like, usually have like naked girls.
This smile scares me. Yeah, it is.
Check the three X's that I earned from busting my stage from New York to Texas. Making niggas take L's like Lexus. Tattooed buys, I pet deck this. Find a mic mechanic, cause I'm about to wreck this. Villainous, I'm laughing while I'm killing this. Never break a sweat because my groove be the chillinest. Thug niggas, throw your hands up if you're feeling this. Tell them I'm here. Tell them the one that blasts first every time it's on. Tell them I put the word back and the word is born. Tell them I start rapping to the beat. Shut them down with no fear. Tell them I'm here. Tell them the one that blasts first every time it's on. Tell them I put the word back and word is born. Tell them I start rapping to the beat. Shut them down with no fear. Somebody tell them motherfuckers I'm here. Yeah.
Intervju Radija Študent.